Welcome to the podcast. This podcast is entitled, What is America? And yes, I mean the United States. For those of you out there, those people out there who are like, well, technically we're all Americans. And my response to that is, and this isn't the point of the podcast, this is an aside to open it, but people who say, well, people from South America are Americans too. Okay, maybe in some really broad sense, but not in any kind of practical sense. If you go to Japan and tell somebody, I'm an American, I'm from America, they'll think you're from the United States. They will not think you're from Ecuador or Brazil or even Canada. And there's a lot of reasons for this. And I wasn't planning on getting into this, but when a lot of it has to do with the world wars, a lot of it has to do with our international interactions with other countries overseas. And so people over in Europe especially say, oh, the Americans, they mean the United States. They don't mean Brazil. And we're the only country in the Americas that has the word America in the name. And so it's actually like our name, the United States of America, right? So, you know, maybe a better title would be the United States, but what do you call us? United Statesers? That doesn't make it, no one's going to say that. That's stupid. And so everybody can, you know, whine about it. But if you wanted to be called Americans, maybe you should have put that in your name instead of the United Mexican States, or I don't know what Brazil's called. I think it's just called Brazil. I don't know what the technical name is, right? But as far as I know, there aren't any other countries in the Americas called America. It's annoying. It's a pet peeve because you get these people more and more often now. We're all Americans. We're all Americans. Yeah, all right. We're all from the American continents. Okay. It would be like if there was a country in Asia that was a big deal, the most important country. Imagine China was called the United States of Asia. And over time, people just referred to them as the Asians. Yeah, that wouldn't change. And everybody else from Pakistan and Russia and India we're all Asians. We're all not in a real practical sense, right? It's just annoying. It's just one more way to say that how horrible America is. All right. Sorry. That's a total aside. It's one of my pet peeves though. It bothers me. It's just one more way to people. It's for people to claim that they're oppressed. Okay, so what is America? If you were an alien and somebody was explaining, all right, well, what's the United States? What is this thing? What? Why does it exist? What are the main points about it? How do you explain its history? What's it about? What is it? Not just pointing to it on a map, but how is it different from other countries? What makes it it? And it's a free people imperfectly figuring out their destiny because they're free. And so they argue, they fight, they trade with each other, they dream, right? That's kind of, you know, I don't know where the term the American dream comes from, but my interpretation of it is, there's a couple things. If you come here and you work really hard, there is a chance, there is a possibility here that you can go from nothing to rich, or at least nothing to something. In most countries, if you're born dirt poor, you're going to stay dirt poor. But here, there are a lot of real examples of people who came here dirt poor or started dirt poor for whatever reason, and became really wealthy or kind of wealthy or just were doing okay. And that doesn't happen in most other places, and especially throughout human history. Generally, it's a story of success. And I, right now, there's all the Marxists. Yeah, no. That's the through line of American history, is human beings succeeding. Are there exceptions to that? Yeah. But the exceptions don't mean that's not still the through line of American history. It is people figuring out how to succeed at whatever they're trying to do. People are generally happy here. People are generally more wealthy here than other places, depending on, you know, how you want to define wealth. Some people define it as leisure time. Some people define it as not having to work. Some people, however, why do you think people want to come here? I mean, people want to go to the other rich countries too, but there's something different. There's something special and unique and, yes, exceptional about the United States. And if you don't like that, then maybe I can convince you that you're wrong. You tell me what other society has done it the way we did it. Maybe you could point to England. Maybe you could point to France. But they're not as stable. Well, England is quite stable. I will give England that. But it came to democracy in kind of a weird way. And yes, we owe our heritage of democracy to them. I'm not going to take that away from them. But the way we do it is we elect everybody. And everybody is, ideally, everybody is seen as the same. Think about it. There are plenty of countries that had slavery. They all had it at some point. Now, maybe not some of the countries that exist today, but the point is, throughout time, slavery was like the institution of prostitution, in so much that it has always existed throughout human society, wherever it went. There were always slaves. It's a status that people fell into. You might find me one or two examples. Okay, that doesn't disprove what I just said. If the fact that there's an exception to a rule doesn't mean it's not a rule anymore, especially if they're very minor exceptions. So anyway, it's a government that was created kind of overnight in historical terms by the Americans in the 1770s and 80s. And then, what do you know, it worked. Now, the thing is, we had little colonies that worked before. And we took some of these ideas from the British about personal liberty, limited government, self-government, and brought them over to the Eastern Seaboard. And we went extreme with the rights of the individual and the people running their own government, even more than the British did as a whole. The Whigs over there were the people who were saying, no, the people are the sovereigns. The king shouldn't really be in charge and things like that. But it took them a while to actually get away from that. But we inherited these movements of the Enlightenment and yes, English political thought, and went crazy with it. And we instituted that in our government. There's no other country that did that. Okay. Yes, the French have done it. They're a very good democracy. They haven't been very stable. Napoleon, right? We never had a Napoleon. Yeah, but you had slavery. Okay, calm down, Marxists. Calm down. We have had, since our founding, a stable representative government that, even through a civil war and through all kinds of turmoil, has successfully had elections has successfully had elected leaders that respond eventually to the will of the people. There's no other country that has had that. Sorry. Britain, all right, maybe they're an exception, but they're a pretty small island and they were a kingdom too. So they're their own cool example of kind of a democratic evolvement, evolution over time. But they're not very big. And yeah, they had an empire, such as it was, okay? But not that it was nothing, but it didn't last very long. But importantly, it did take democracy wherever it went. And you can hate on the British Empire all you want. And yeah, it had big problems. But the biggest benefit of it is that everywhere it went, it took democracy with it. It took representative governments with it. And ours, we're included. And so no other society has had just this much freedom. We're just people just doing whatever they wanted. And it's kind of diminished over time, or however you want to look at it. It has changed over time. But picture the 1800s. And I know there were oppressed peoples, but the vast majority of people in the United States were free and doing their own thing. Especially when you compare it to other societies at the time. You want to talk to me about women not having all the rights they should have? Did they have the rights everywhere else? No. Okay, so quit it with that. You can't compare what the country was back then to perfection. That's not ever a fair comparison to make. It's childish. It's what the Marxists do. It's just stupid. Stop it. I know you're not doing that, but all those arguments come into our minds every time we say anything good about the United States, or anytime we say anything good about a country that isn't perfect in the Marxist imagination. So some people will say, well, Europe is that way. Maybe kind of today it's starting to be. But even as far as I understand, the European Union does not really respond to the will of its people. It's still kind of the elites running the show. There's no like populist access to power like we have here. And maybe that's an illusion, what we're learning. Maybe the elites fool us into thinking that we have some say. But we do have say. The American people get what they want in the end. For better or for worse. And in the last 150 years, or especially last 100 years, the Europeans haven't really been a very good example of that. Two world wars, the Holocaust. Yeah, that's not a good example of a well-functioning democratic continent. So are they kind of the cradle of modern civilization? Yeah. Are they the best example of how it should work? No. They came up with the ideas. And, I mean, the French Revolution was a total disaster. Even the parts of it that were, quote, successful, large parts of that were not good. Anyway, the United States is a singular example of a stable democracy across an entire continent and beyond that defends the rights of its people. And where it doesn't, it struggles to admit that and live up to its ideals. If we didn't have the ideals that we have, could you legitimately criticize us? I mean, you could still legitimately criticize us, but you couldn't call us hypocrites. Right? If a slave owner didn't write all men are created equal and therefore they have rights, then we would never strive for that. If we were just like, yeah, some people should be slaves and let's just make a government that protects rich people's wealth or whatever, then all right, well, that's what our country's all about. But that's not what our country's about. And so when we don't live up to our ideals, then we beat ourselves over the head with our own ideals. Just a small note. When our colonies turned into states, they were the most democratic places on earth, and maybe the most democratic medium-sized countries ever, with the best functioning governments. I mean, think about it. They were so democratic that Madison and everybody said, hey, we need some kind of government to control them, because they so respond to the will of the people that these little factions are taking over. There's nothing controlling them. There's no king controlling them. And so a faction gets control, like they do in democracies, because majority rules. If that's the only rule, then guess what? The majority is going to take over and screw over all the minorities. And I don't mean racial minorities. I mean people who aren't in the majority. Everybody, you know, not 50% plus one. Okay. The word minorities is kind of misused in our country. And so when I say minorities, people think I'm saying, oh, black people and Mexicans. No. Okay. Whoever isn't in the majority. Everyone in Massachusetts and Rhode Island and Pennsylvania, well, not Pennsylvania so much, they were all pretty much white people, but there were factions even within them. Okay. So that's the point with the factions thing. So my point with that is that proves the fact that we had to create the federal government proves that those states were democratic, very much so, to a fault. The other places around the world were not democratic. And that's our heritage. When we created state constitutions at the beginning of the country, even at the beginning of the Revolutionary War, many of them, the governor had like almost no power, hardly any power compared to what they have today, because they wanted democracy. They wanted the people to run things. Here's another example of how America is about freedom and about people's rights and about self-government. You can't blame the South for starting the Civil War over slavery and then act like at the same time the North wasn't trying to ban it. Right? People will only bring up the bad and not bring up the good. They'll say, well, America had slavery. But they won't give America credit for banning slavery either, when it really didn't have to. It could have just, right? When it's bad, it's America. But when it's good, we don't get any credit for it. With the Civil War, the South deserves the blame. The leaders of the South who stupidly declared war so that they could, and they knew there was going to be a war, right? And so, I mean, that's debatable. I mean, some people thought, well, we could have worked something out. Well, Lincoln in his inaugural address said, hey, I'll do a constitutional amendment that says you get to keep your slaves and we won't try to ban slavery ever in the South. Think about that. He actually offered that, and I think it was sincere, because that was their big fear. But they wanted slavery in the Western territories, and they just wanted to start their own slave empire throughout South America and the Caribbean and all that. Anyway, my point is, people aren't specific. They don't understand. They just paint America with a broad brush. Like when we talk about the Jim Crow South, those laws are mostly in the South. Were there some racist laws across the country? Yes. Were there black and white restrooms in California? No. As far as I know, no. Was it that way in New York? I don't think so. Were they redlining? And I know there was, I'm not saying it was perfect. in the North, but it was worse in the South, right? There's no Jim Crow New York City. That's not a thing. There's no Jim Crow LA. That's a Southern thing. And slavery, largely, was a Southern thing. By the time of the Civil War, it was exclusively a Southern thing. And even by the time of, you know, I don't know all the dates specifically, but very early on, most of the Northern states banned slavery. And eventually all of them did. But very early, some of them banned it as soon as they could. And so, yes, it was a Southern thing. So my point with this is, why don't we get any credit for banning slavery? We're one of the first societies to do it, and the first society that fought a civil war to get rid of it. Britain didn't have to fight a civil war. I don't know. I looked it up once. I think there were like 15,000 slaves, some really small number in Britain. And the government bought all of them, I think, is how they figured it out, from their slave masters. Now, did they ban slavery throughout their territories and their empire? I don't think so. Brazil, I think, banned it pretty early. No. Anyway, I'm not prepared to... I think they took a while to ban it, actually. But anyway, we fought a nasty civil war, and nasty understates it, basically over the issue of slavery. If somebody tells you it's states' rights and trade and all that, there's no way the South would have seceded over that stuff. They might have threatened it, but they wouldn't have actually done it. And so, why don't we get any credit for that? We used to, but now they're tearing down Lincoln statues. Like, what? What? The communists have gone nuts in our country and nobody's calling them out. I mean, some people are calling them out, but they got rid of a Lincoln statue. I think they got rid of it, actually. There was a Lincoln statue, was it in Boston, that a bunch of freed slaves paid to have put up? And it was Lincoln standing there and there was like some slave kneeling down, like rising up. It wasn't kneeling down, like getting whipped by Abraham Lincoln or whatever. And they want it gone because they're nuts, because their ideology has driven them insane. Their ideology makes no sense. And so they just have to destroy so that we can get to some kind of Shangri-La. They're nuts. Ideology makes people say insane things. Just like communism made communists, and still today, makes communists say insane things. Just like Nazism makes people say insane things. I don't know what you call the ideology that slave owners in the South had who were trying to justify slavery before the Civil War. That ideology made people say insane things, like it's the natural order of things and it was a good thing, and that Thomas Jefferson was naive when he wrote that all men are created equal. That's an ideology too. There are ideologies today that are making people right now say insane things. We won't go into it right now, but you know what I'm talking about. Just look around. The United States could have easily avoided a war. Lincoln could have said, all right, whatever, let's do an amendment. I don't know if the South would have gone for it, but maybe. The point is, we didn't do that. And by the end of the Civil War, we passed the 13th Amendment and ban it forever from all territories of the United States. It's illegal everywhere. You can't know. And does anyone ever talk about repealing the 13th Amendment? No. We moved on. We decided that's not happening here. There are some things that just get decided. So that is support of my argument that the through line, or the essence of American history, is trying to have everyone be free and have rights. That's the purpose of the United States. And that is, I keep saying through line, that's what America is about. If you were giving a brief to some alien and they were like, yeah, that's what America's about. You know, a communist would tell them it's about oppression and the slavery and women's rights and gay rights and all that. All right. But if it was a country that didn't care about rights, why would any of that matter? We wouldn't even be arguing about it. We'd be like, just shut up. Who cares about that? But they appeal to our sense of, oh, that's wrong, because we believe all people are created equal and that they all have rights. So are these rights that should be acknowledged? If we didn't believe in that, everyone would just say, you're weird, shut up. You're not like the majority, shut up. You don't agree with our traditions, shut up. But that's not what we say. Because our ethos, what we're dedicated to, is that people deserve respect and that they have rights and that those rights should be protected and not violated. And so you can appeal to our founding documents, to our laws. Yes, and founding documents written largely by slaveholders. Isn't it ironic? It's revolutionary. And people who tell you that the American Revolution wasn't revolutionary just because it didn't turn out like the French Revolution and because it didn't turn into a pure democracy, which cannot work, which would have been stupid. Those people don't know what they're talking about. I'm sorry. It was revolutionary. So after the 13th Amendment, when the Civil War's over, do we just say, all right, South, deal with the slaves however you want? Some people wanted that. Or deal with the freed slaves however you want. But no, we passed the 14th and 15th Amendments, trying to force the South to do what? Protect rich people? Enforce our traditions? Enforce Christianity? Enforce male dominance over females? No, to enforce black civil rights and all people's rights. Why would we do that if the essence and the through line and the purpose and the uniqueness of America is not about rights? It's because it is. It's because the 14th and 15th Amendments match our ideals. That's why they belong in the Constitution. Now, there's some argument over the role of the federal government and whether it should be the knight riding in on its white horse to fix every civil rights issue in every state all across the country, because then all you have to do to tyrannize the states is just label something civil rights, and then you can do whatever you want, like the bathrooms thing, right? When Obama said, starting tomorrow, basically, any kid in every public school across the country can use whatever bathroom they want, basically is what he said. Right. I know it's more complicated than that because you can get in these ideological debates. But when you get down to it, that's basically what it said. And you might think, well, how come he thought he had the right to do that? Because of the 14th Amendment. That's why. And so there's an argument over that. But the point is, the United States passed that law. It wasn't imposed on us. Our parents didn't write it, right? We did it. The people run the United States. It's not something we inherited from 1,000 years ago, and I guess we just got to go along with it. No, we created that and said, now this federal government that we have created is going to do these things too, because there are some parts in our country that don't acknowledge that all people are created equal and they don't want to acknowledge their rights. Right? Always remember, the Bill of Rights doesn't give us rights. It acknowledges rights that we already possess because we're breathing, because we're alive. It doesn't give us rights. I don't have the right to own a gun because of the Second Amendment. I have a right to own a gun because I'm alive. I don't have the right to say whatever I want, any ideas that I want, because the First Amendment invented that right. I have that right because I was born. And the First Amendment says, government, you can't take that right away that they already have. Keep that in mind. All it's doing is trying to keep the government from violating those rights. It's not granting anything. And it's not a complete list of rights either. That's what the Ninth Amendment is about. Hey, just because we listed some of them doesn't mean we listed all of them. So, you know, people will be like, well, it doesn't say in the Bill of Rights, so I guess I don't have the right to that. Really? You think the government is the arbiter of what all of your rights are? We wrote them all down somewhere? That's given a lot of power to this thing that we created. Okay, so that was kind of this podcast. I don't know. I hope you understand the idea that I was trying to get across, and I came up with some examples. One of the things that got me thinking about it was this, I didn't watch the whole interview, but part of an interview I saw with Bill Maher on CNN or something. And he was talking about CRT, and he's like, the essence of America isn't racism. Like, what is this? You know, and old school liberals like him understand that freedom is what America's about. We argue about all these other things, but freedom is what we appeal to. The idea that we appeal to when somebody isn't free, it violates our idea of what should be. That's another thing is, something I've thought of, is in an argument over how things should be, your argument, your thing, whatever you're advocating, needs to stand up to the test of something like, yeah, but how does that make sense? Yeah, but does that seem like that's how it should be? Right? That's the Enlightenment. Yeah, but does it seem like the king should have power just because he inherited it from his dad? How does that make sense? It doesn't make any sense. It's incredibly stupid. That's why I've gotten rid of it. All of these things stand up to argument, right? One of the best arguments I've heard in a long time. I don't know how good the arguments themselves were, but Joe Rogan and what's his name? Matt Walsh arguing about gay marriage. It was like a couple months ago. Very calm argument, okay? And that was Joe Rogan saying, yeah, but how does this make sense? And I don't think Matt Walsh did that good of a job arguing it. But that's how it should work. It doesn't always work that way. But just think about some of the things. Just real quick, and then I'll get to the last thing I was going to talk about. Too many times we say that's how it is and that's how it should be because that's how it is. Now, sometimes things were created or set up a certain way and we need to understand why, because that's probably how it is works the best. But you can't always use the fact that that's how it is, therefore that's how it should be, as your argument. It's in fact not an argument. It's just saying, well, that's how it is. It's not an argument. And if we're going to improve things, now, the other problem with this can be what the Marxists do is just criticize, criticize, criticize. It's not perfect. It's not perfect. It's not perfect. That's not what I'm talking about. Some things aren't perfect, but they're maybe as perfect as they can get. And maybe we can improve it somehow. And that should be thought through. But you can't just pick apart everything. That can't be your full-time job. There's not a lot of point in that. So that's not what I'm saying. But like, think about, are you born with the right to have somebody help you put your fire out in your house? Why does government pay for that? Why does government organize that? Now you might say, well, in a city, it'll jump from house to house. They go out and put out houses in the middle of the nowhere. Why? Well, because that's how it is. Why? Why is that how it is? Are you born with the right to have, if someone's breaking into your house, are you born with the right to have other adults come help, come take care of that guy for you and risk their lives dealing with that guy? Are you born with that right? You're not born with that right to have someone else defend you. So why does government do it? I'm not saying it shouldn't. But if that's the standard, no, it's just created to protect rights. Some things that the government does, they don't just, you're not born with that right. They're protecting rights. But do you see my point? How do you have the right to have someone come put your house out or risk their lives pulling you out of a burning building, but you don't have the right for them to pay for your health care that you need because you're going to die because you have cancer? How does that make sense? So that's just, I'm not saying it does. I'm not saying, whatever. I'm not getting into that argument. What I'm saying is the whole idea of how does that make sense is what our political arguments should revolve around. How does that make sense? How is that going to work? Is this how it should be? Anyway, that's just something I've thought of. A note about Crowder and Rumble. I don't know if you're following this. I think it's really exciting if Rumble becomes a free speech alternative to YouTube. Because think about how many things are hidden from us. Think about how similar our society is now to communist China's. The government or companies at the behest of government just hide things from us. Just delete things from our view like they do in China. If the Chinese government doesn't like something that's on TV, they'll just turn it off for a billion people, 1.3 billion people on the earth. Something like, I don't know, there's like 10 million people in the CCP. They get to tell 1.3 billion people what they can see on TV, what they can read about on the internet, what they can, just so many things. And how far has that gone in our country? How many things don't we know that we don't know? You see what I mean? How many things are out there that we don't even know about? And we don't even know that we don't know. That's scary to me. And not just because nobody's talking about them, but because they're being silenced. If you watch, it's kind of funny, on Crowder's show, they have this Rumble segment, right? And it's like normal people talking about things that are going on, like the election, like the vaccines, like the Arizona election with Carrie Lake. Like all this crazy pedophile stuff that's going on. Normal people are talking about those things around their kitchen tables. But people on YouTube can't. Why? Because they're being censored. They're being told what they can and can't say. Because it offends somebody. Or it goes against the party line. That's communism. Right? It's other kind of isms too. But communism is the one that's pervasive. Or was pervasive across a bunch of countries in the last century. And that is still has a hold of the most populous country on earth. And it's coming here. Wake up. Or wake other people up. Think about how crazy that is. how dangerous that is. That there's a group of people who are trying to tell us what we can and can't say, and ideas that we can and can't talk about, or things that we can't even access. Like Tiananmen Square Massacre, you can't read about it in China. They erased it as if it didn't happen. How many things like that are happening here? They erase ideas. It's crazy. And I think this Rumble thing is a good example of how we can fight back against it. Anyway, okay, a couple more ideas. I don't mean this to go on too long, but the argument over wealth versus freedom. Let's say you had to choose being rich, or at least rich compared to like what middle class Americans are. You have basically nice things. You have basic financial security. You have a couple cars. You have a decent house. Maybe you go on some vacations, depending on how rich you are. That versus like, okay, that and being not free, and being free and living a more hardscrabble existence. I know that that's not usually how it goes, but let's say you had to choose. Which one do you choose? What if the Chinese Communist Party and all their technocrats and all that can make you moderately wealthy and have nice things and not have to worry about, you know, starving or losing your job or all that? But you can't vote. You have no say in what your country does. The government tells you what to do. They tell you basically how to live your life, except for some ways. they basically, like living in China today, or increasingly living here today, or in California, or some, you know, less free country or state. Which one do you choose? And I equate the first one to like being in a zoo. Right? A chimpanzee in a zoo, they're pretty smart, but I think they're still kind of like, yeah, this is all right. This is a pretty sweet gig. You know, I'd get food. Just kind of sit around. I don't have to fight ape wars in the jungles. I don't have to, you know, yeah, it's not bad. You know, you look at a lion, they're just laying there all day. That's all they do anyway. Like, what does a male lion do? It just fights off the other males and then mates with the females and eats the food that they catch. It just sits around. It's just kind of a I don't know, a lame example of a male animal. But but we're not animals. We're smart. We understand that if we were in a zoo, eventually we wouldn't like it. We'd be like, let me out of here. Let me be a person. I want to go do things. I want to go try things. I want to see things. I want to just sit here. Yes, being taken care of, but that's not what I want. That's not why I'm here. People, now, I don't think being free means you're going to be poor. But if it meant that, would you choose it? And I think you have to, in the end, I think you have to choose, yeah, I want to be free. And let's roll the dice. And that's America. Let's roll the dice. I think the people can do it. Yes, we're stupid sometimes. And yes, there's bad people. But the alternative is tyranny. The alternative, and that takes many forms. Okay, but the alternative is being in a zoo, being taken care of by your overlords, by people who know better than you. No, no, we're not zoo animals. We're not sheep. That's not how we're supposed to live. Well, supposed to according to who? According to the creator, sorry. And even if you don't believe in a creator, just according to human nature. We're not supposed to be like that. We're not supposed to be like the lion sitting there in the zoo. We're supposed to be out doing things, out figuring things out, living our lives, being happy with our families, being human beings. That's what we're supposed to be doing. And they're going to try to sell you this. Oh, but you'll be safe. You'll be safe. We'll just give you this universal basic income and just sit there like during COVID. Wasn't it wonderful? You could just sit there and watch your screen all day. You don't have to worry about anything. That's how you want to live your life? No thanks. The last thing, if you listen to there's this podcast called The Presidential Daily Brief. And the host, I guess he's starting his own podcast now, but the host would give you an email and have you communicate with him. And I wrote him maybe 3 emails, and he responded to a couple of them. It's kind of a cool way to interact with the audience. And I thought, well, I'll try it. So here's an email address. patriotanswers@tuta.io. So patriotanswers@tuta.io. There's this website called tutanota.com. It's a German, I don't know what it means, but it's a German secure email site. Okay. It's kind of like Proton Mail, but I already have a personal Proton Mail, and I don't want to pay the $5 a month to have... Anyway, different story, but maybe I'll end up paying for Tutanota. But so patriotanswers@tuta.io if you're interested. It'd be interesting to interact, and, you know, if you have... things you want me to research and talk about, or I don't know, whatever you want. It might be interesting to interact. So thank you for listening.